Procrastinating, a term most often used by the millennial generation, is a method of putting something off, delaying, or postponing something by taking part in the act of baking.
Welcome to Procrastibaking, a place to talk about our baking obsessions and avoid doing everything else. Coming to you from Southern California, I'm Louisa.
And from Eastern North Carolina, I'm Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I have to tell you something funny before I forget. So when Raul was editing our last episode, he said to me, "Your voice sounds so much deeper." And I said, yeah, because I was sick that episode. I don't know if you watched Friends, but there's this one episode where Phoebe catches a cold, and she sings in like a coffee shop, and she catches a cold, and it gives her like a deeper, she calls it like a deeper sexy voice or something. And so she gets a lot of attention from people because it's like a different pitch. And then she gets over her cold and she's disappointed that she doesn't have the deep voice anymore. So she goes around licking coffee mugs in the coffee shop, trying to get sick again so she could have that magical voice.
Which that's funny. I've not seen that.
Do, but I just thought it was funny that he pointed that out. What else was I have a lot of stuff to tell you. Okay, this is more baking related. So, which is appropriate for our podcast. Okay, so I wanted to make a gift box for my friend Molly, who just had a baby, but I could not commit to a baked good that I wanted to send. I don't know what was wrong with me. Normally, I have, like, my go-to things. Like, I will send, like, a chocolate chip or my better-than-a-boyfriend brownies or,
right,
like, snickerdoodles are usually pretty easy. But I didn't want to do any of that. So this time I was thinking, oh, let me do the corn cookies that
had shared with me.
But I think I did them wrong because the end product didn't taste as good as the ones you sent to me.
Oh, no. Did you taste them the first day or the next day?
Oh, I did one of each because I was thinking maybe they taste better the second day. I will say I do think they did taste better the second day, like all the flavors had settled in. But they still weren't as good as the ones you made. And so I wonder if the problem was that it said freeze dried corn powder. And mine just said regular corn powder. And is there a difference, I wonder?
Oh, I don't know. Was yours really fine?
I mean, it seemed like it, yeah. But yeah? I read a comment on the recipe where someone said, you know, make sure to use the freeze dried. And I couldn't find it when I was on Amazon. So I don't know if that's maybe the difference that I made.
It's interesting that you said that because I thought my cookies didn't taste as good as the ones somebody else made for me.
Is this just like a psychological phenomenon? Like, because you have to put in the work. Some people say that, like with cooking, you know, you make like this really fancy meal and then you don't even want to eat it at the end of it because you're so exhausted from having to prepare it. So I don't know if that's what happened to me, but they were like too dry and they just weren't as good. I remember yours being really good and mine were not as good. So I didn't send them. And then I had all these leftover cookies I had to deal with. But anyway, so then I was like, you know what? It's like fall. She's in Boston. She might appreciate a nice banana bread. So I made the, you know, the only banana bread you'll ever need from Midwest Made. But then I like chickened out because I remember a few episodes ago, I was like, I can't send the banana bread because it's moist and I don't want it to get moldy. And then I got all up in my head and my thoughts, like, how am I going to accommodate it in this box? Because I already have other gifts for her, like a baby book. And I just feel like the banana bread loaf is not flexible enough to go in the box. So then I kept the banana bread too, and we ate it. But finally I settled on just brownies, but I didn't use my better than a boyfriend brownie recipe. I made a different brownie recipe that actually is going viral on the baking subreddit.
What's special about it?
Okay, so it was funny. I guess the original post was from this girl that said, my friend just got broken up with and she loves gooey brownies and I need people to give me like their best gooey brownie recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody shared a recipe that other people then started making, and then it just led to like a wave of people saying, I made the brownie recipe, the one that was like the most highly ranked. And that was all I saw on that subreddit for days and days. And so finally I was like, you know what? I am going to try it because I want to know what the fuss is all about. And apparently it is like a modified recipe from Broma Bakery. Have you heard of that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've used some of their recipes.
Yeah. So this is their brown butter brownie recipe. But I think the one that was posted had a couple of tweaks on it. But it came from this base recipe. And they're pretty good. They are fudgier than my Better Than a Boyfriend brownie.
Oh, brownie. Wow.
So now I'm conflicted because those have been my brownies. I know. I don't know what to do.
What do you call them if they're better than a boyfriend brownies?
The only husband.
Better than a fiance brownies?
Yeah, they're good. I'll send you the recipe.
Yeah, we'll have to try them.
Maybe you want to try them and see what you think. The brown butter is a really nice addition, and they just look really pretty. They get like an extra shiny crinkle on the top that my Better Than a Boyfriend brownies don't. I mean, they get it too, but this one was like shinier. So I don't know. They were really yummy. I do think I could cut back on the salt a little bit because I ended up accidentally using salted butter instead of unsalted, and then I still added the salt in the end, but other than that, they were really, really good. And Molly texted me and said that she really liked them. And so I'll send you the recipe. You should make them at some point and then we'll discuss because I don't know what to do. I don't know if this should be my new go-to. I feel like a betrayal of the other.
The other recipe.
Or maybe we could combine the two, like do brown butter.
Yeah. Do your staple recipe with the brown butter. Maybe that's the difference.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I think I told you a lot of stories, but that's all.
That's all.
All right. What's new that with you?
So I have mapped out my life between now and Christmas so that I am baking 2 to 3, like I think only 2 weeks have 3 things in them.
Things I was going to say, you told me 2 things a week.
Yeah.
And now it's,
I think 2 things ended up having 3. But yeah, mostly it's 2 things a week. I think it's because 1 week only has 1 thing because I'm going out of town. Yeah, so between now and Christmas, I'll be baking 2 things a week to prepare for Christmas, stocking the freezer. And sometimes I make just the dough and then bake it later. And sometimes I make the cookies and freeze them. So I think I'm ready.
Do you have like a, you know how people have the garage freezers? Do you have one of those?
So I have a deep freezer as of last year. We got one as a Christmas gift. Growing up, my parents had like a stand-up freezer, a second freezer.
Wow.
And I'd love to have one of those, but I don't think we have the space for it because we have all this exercise equipment in the garage. So exercise plus lawn care doesn't leave a lot of space. So the one we have is a good size.
Yeah. Perfect. I was just thinking with all your Christmas baking, you could use an entire freezer dedicated to like doughs and stuff.
Yes. That would be magical.
Are you trying anything new this year that you're like excited about?
So they're not cookies, but I'm going to make chocolate brioche morning buns. Ooh. Just because I had them at a bakery. I think I mentioned them on here when I had them and they were so good. And the bakery's like 30 to 45 minutes away, so I don't want to really go if I don't have to. So I want to try those. I think that would be a fun Christmas dessert. That's really new. Yummy. Yeah. And let me look at my list. I think there are a couple of new things on here.
What's like something you always make?
So I always make millionaire bars. I always make peppermint shortbread. And I always make thumbprint cookies to use up my jam collection.
Yeah, you have a lot of jam.
Oh, yeah. This year I'm making, because I went to a cookie exchange last year and got a recipe for really good turtle thumbprints. So it's like the chocolate, caramel, and pecan. So I'm going to make those as well.
Oh, I want that recipe. That sounds good.
Okay, yeah, I'll share it with you. And then I've also been baking for your husband's birthday box. So that's been fun, especially with Alice. She's helped me with most of it.
Alice is great. She's your sous chef.
And she's a
Yeah.
good taste tester too.
That's like his most exciting thing about the birthday. It's also exciting because it comes like before his birthday.
Oh yeah. Except this year it's probably gonna be right around that same
That's
day.
fine.
Yes.
But it's just the element of surprise. Like then one day there's a box of cookies
That
at home.
disappears, yeah.
And I always like get excited too because I eat like half of whatever you send him because
I
I force him to share. So it's
forced him
fun.
to
It's like a
share.
little bonding activity. I'm like, Rachel's box came. And so we like wait until Claudia's down and open it up and go through everything together on the couch. So it
That
is
sounds like
also a
fun.
gift to me in a way. So thank you, even though it's not my birthday.
You're welcome.
Oh, shoot. I was going to tell you something, but what? Oh, I was going to ask you because Alice is probably like tasting a lot of stuff that is maybe new to her. So
Yes.
has there been anything that's been like, oh, I really enjoy this. I've never had this before.
So I think still the so she told me her top three cookies the other day, and I might have to ask her to repeat it, but I know up there was the chocolate chip peanut butter cookies. That was the top three. I'm trying to think. Gosh, we've made so many. I think the pumpkin cookies was in the top three, and I forget what the third one was in her top three.
Yeah, peanut butter for sure is something I'm assuming she doesn't eat a
Yeah, I mean,
lot,
she'd had it,
but
but it wasn't, yeah, it's not very popular.
yeah. Well, it's like a pre and post test, so like at the end of the school year, you'll have to
We'll see what's still her favorite.
reassess.
Yeah, it's funny because like almost every time we bake something, she goes, "Ooh, this is my new favorite."
That's good. There's always something that can top whatever the last thing was you had, so I like
Right?
that.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
that's fun.
This season, we are exploring bakes that were awarded handshakes on the Great British Bake Off. Today's handshake-worthy bake comes from Steph's Zest and Spice Hot Crust Buns from season 10. I wanted to include some hot crust buns puns, but I didn't have time to think of any.
Procrastinating at its finest. I'm sure you were actually baking buns instead of making bun puns.
I also procrastinated making my buns. I made them this morning and I was worried I wasn't going to finish them in time, but I did it. But yes, okay, so let's talk about our buns that we baked.
So I made, oh goodness. The Sweet Rebellion is the name of the recipe blog. I made
Oh.
her sour cherry and dark chocolate hot cross buns because I think traditionally they're made with raisins. And I like raisins, but I feel like a lot of people around me don't like raisins. So I usually try to sub those out with something. And when I saw this had chocolate in it, I was like, those are the ones making those. I thought they were really good. They were like a little sweet, but not like super sweet, like they were perfect for like breakfast or like a snack. My crust, though, well, I probably should have followed the directions. She told me to use a piping bag, and I
You're
didn't want to
funny.
because they're like way up high in the cabinet. I didn't want to get them down, I didn't want to stand on the ladder and all that mess. So I just put them in a Ziploc bag, which gave me less control.
Yeah.
So they were a little sloppy, but now that I'm looking at hers, I mean. Hers are not perfect. So I don't think they're meant to be quite perfect. I took them to work and people loved them. Nobody had had a hot cross bun before. And I was like, okay, me either. So we're going to try them together. And oh, the first one I had was like hot out the oven with some butter. And it was like perfection. The rest of them I had were like room temperature and they were still really good. But I highly recommend hot out of the oven with butter.
It's funny because this blog is Sweet Rebellion, and you were a bit rebellious in your
Rebellious.
refusal to use a piping bag, and I like that.
And the other change I would make to her recipe is she left the sour cherries whole. And when I'm like portioning out the rolls, some of them kept falling out of the dough because they were just so heavy. So I think they need to be at least halved, if not quartered.
Okay. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'd love to try this version of them. Because it's more simplified, I think. And I love I love the addition of chocolate to anything like that. So, did you find them like labor intensive?
They're like a little less than a cinnamon roll, I felt like.
Yeah.
I feel like it had to rise a good bit though. Like the first time the dough rose for like 2 hours, and then I had to, after I divided it into balls, it was like another hour.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was time consuming, but my mixer did most of the work, and yeah, I feel like it was a little less than cinnamon rolls, but yeah, it was more than like making a cake or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's because, well, I made Steph's recipe, and I don't know if it's because I made Steph's recipe, but it took me forever to get through it. She also had a part where I didn't realize this, but she had a step where she was like, and now make the homemade butter. And I was like, homemade butter?
Oh, gosh.
And so I started like pulling out ingredients, and then I kept reading, and it said to serve with the buns. And I was like, nah, girl, I got butter in the fridge that we're going to just pull up and soften. I'm not going to make my own butter. But that's a nice idea if you want to do it. But then it also had like a glaze that I had to make to put on top. I don't know if yours had a glaze on it.
Oh, a glaze in addition to the crust.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? Yes, it did. It was, it reminded me of making like babka. It was like a simple syrup that I like brushed on and like sizzled on the hot buns.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I just pulled up your recipe. That's not bad. The one that was on Steph's recipe, it was pretty involved. It had like, it asked you to put star anise in it, like a cinnamon stick in it, whole cloves, and then you have like simmer it.
So you need to fish all that out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't put the star anise in it because I think we've talked about this. It's just too strong of a flavor for me. But I actually really like the end result. I'm not a huge, like, I'm not a raisin person. I'm your friend that's not into raisins that you referenced one of your friends. And so this called for, she called them sultanas, but when I Googled it, it's apparently like golden raisins is what we call them here.
Yes.
I'm generally just not into raisins and not into dried fruit in general. And this called for dried cranberries, something called mixed peel, which I couldn't find. So I read that a good sub for that is marmalade, orange marmalade. So I subbed that.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, and then zest of oranges and lemons as well. I didn't have lemons though, so I used that lemon oil that you got for me
ages
ago from King Arthur. So that's always good in a pinch when I don't have lemons. It was really yummy. I actually enjoyed all of the elements in it together. The glaze was really nice because it had a really strong spice flavor to it. I did use a piping bag for the crosses, but I got like weirdly perfectionistic about it. Like, it's not, I don't know how to pipe these completely straight, but maybe that's just part of the process. They're going to be
because the rolls aren't like completely smooth, right? They were not like dinner roll smooth. No,
no. So it was tricky, but I think they look good enough. And yeah, they were really yummy. I know it said like, wait till it completely cools, but straight out of the oven with butter was what I did too.
Oh, yeah. No, mine suggested eating them hot. So I was like, okay, no problem.
That should be the suggestion. Yeah, I liked it. I felt like it was time intensive or labor intensive because maybe I had to also do the more involved glaze.
You had intense glaze. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they were good. It's weird because I've also never had hot crust buns, so I don't know what to compare them to, but I thought they were yummy. And they look pretty,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too, and I'll probably make them again. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they'd be nice to have, like, when you have people over from out of town and you just want something easy to put out on the table in the morning with breakfast.
Yes. So. Did yours use bread flour?
It did. A lot.
Yeah.
I used my entire bag.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I already used a little bit, but what I had left over, I went through it. Between what went in the dough and then just like, you know, putting it out like on the, when I was not rolling it out, but when I was making the little buns, I had the surface with dough on or with flour on it to keep it from sticking. So yeah, was a lot of flour. But yeah, I like this one. This was fun.
Yeah.
Handshake for me, Steph.
Sometimes we get a little stir crazy in the kitchen and take a break from behind our ovens to explore what local bakeries have to offer. In today's episode, we visit
Atlantic Beach Coffee in Atlantic Beach.
That's convenient, isn't it?
That is nice.
Okay, so this is another special out and about because we are together. We actually split something today.
Yes.
Because the one thing that we chose was ginormous. Yes. Do you want to say more about it?
We chose a giant cinnamon roll.
It was giant.
Which was only like $6.50, which is not bad because this thing probably could have fed six people.
And we also got a really hefty extra amount of the cream cheese icing.
Yeah, because icing was just drizzled. So it we didn't feel like it was going to be enough. And we got like so a small drink worth of icing.
We're just globbing it on there. Well, actually, you put it on.
I felt like I was painting, like, with that, like, thick paint, like, when you do it, the palette-style painting.
Like, paint by numbers?
No, yeah. Like, when the, like, the cakes that have the, like, palette style.
Oh, I see. That's
yeah. A more with a knife. Yeah, yeah, I was like, oh.
Yeah. It was so, a lot.
I don't know. So, they had the jumbo cinnamon rolls. They had, looked like, two kinds of scones. Biscottis that were pre-packaged from somewhere else.
The croissants that they were bringing out when we were leaving.
Yes, when we were leaving, they were bringing out, is it like, what
chocolate,
do you call it?
Right?
Chocolate, yeah. What do you call it? There's like a name
What's
for
that
it.
Thing I like?
Pain au chocolat? Is that
the fancy way to say chocolate?
I think so. Croissant? Oh. Who speaks French out there? You tell us.
Pain au chocolat. Chocolat. Have you seen that movie, Chocolat?
I have not seen it, no.
I think you would like it.
I think I would like it too.
Yeah.
And then there was something on the bottom. Oh, Danish. More Danishes.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. If we didn't get the roll, I think I would have wanted a Danish.
And the chocolate chunk muffin looked really good.
That did look
yes.
good.
Yes. Yeah. So we got this cinnamon roll.
Which is fine. I think we're just like kind of snobby about the cinnamon rolls though.
Because you guys know we've been making tons of cinnamon rolls this season.
Yeah.
And they've been really good for the most part. I think all the ones we've made have been better than the one we had today.
I think the problem with the one we had today was that it was so big that it just, like, dried out, you know, in order for it to bake thoroughly. And I like a gooey cinnamon.
I feel like the cinnamon, the filling was lacking there. Like, it was, like, very thin in between the layers. Like, it could have been, like, a paste or something between the layers. And it was just, like, cinnamon butter almost brushed on between the layers.
But it tasted good.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enough.
When you
enough.
Got the cinnamon, it was good. Yeah.
It just wasn't enough. Yeah. And you were saying that it's almost worth having like smaller rolls
I'd rather
to make
have
sure
a smaller
they're not...
good one than the one we had today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry. It was okay. The chai was okay.
Okay. Also,
did you like yours? Because you got an ice and I got a hot.
I mean, I wouldn't seek it out. But I didn't throw it in the trash. Like, I drank it. I have thrown it in the trash before, so I guess that falls in the middle of my
chai-o-meter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the place.
Yeah.
The place that shall not be named. so it wasn't terrible, but I probably wouldn't go back to get the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I might try something else. But the atmosphere was cute. Also, a lot of people in there. So.
Yeah, it was busy. The coffee must be great, which is, you know, in their name. So.
Yeah.
Go for the coffee.
This season, we are reviving our Procrastinating Book Club and would love for you to read and bake along with us. This season's cookbook selection is Midwest Made by Shauna Seaver. Let's see what our cookbook selections were for this episode.
Well, sadly, I think this is my last cookbook entry because I had a good time with this one.
I did too. I liked this book.
Yeah, it's a great book. So I was really torn. I really wanted to make her pretzels because I've been dying to make pretzels for a long time. But I also had an event coming up that we were invited to. So I thought bringing something more like brownies or bars or cookies, something like that would just make more sense. So I flipped through a bunch of options, but I settled on her frosted snickerdoodle bars, which were really fun to make. They smelled so good in the oven.
I saw your photo. They look cute.
Thanks. Yeah, they were. I feel like it's a nice contrast, right? From like the dark color of the bars to the frosting and then the sprinkled cinnamon on top. So
yes,
the frosting was yummy, like super buttery, and it just tastes really good, like the combo. I will say, though, they were like a little softer. When I hear bars, I think more, I don't know how to describe it. This is like a weird.
You think like blondies and brownies?
Yes, like maybe that, what is it? Like a more dense quality to it, where this just felt more like a cake, like a bread cake sort of deal.
Like you want to pick it up and bite it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this felt like I should be eating it with a fork versus like I could eat it with my hand. But
it's just like a square cake.
Yeah. But it still held together really well and it tasted so good. So I know you're not like a huge snickerdoodle person, but.
So I would probably like this because I like cinnamon. I just don't like the texture usually of the cookie. So I probably like this.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know it was a texture thing. Okay. Then, yeah, I think you would like this because the flavor is there. It's great. So this was a good one for me to close out on. I mean, I'll keep making stuff, but the last one I'll be talking about, I guess, formally in an episode. But, yeah, I've been really happy with all the things I've made for the most part. I feel like most of them have been wins. So it's a great book to keep in your collection.
Yeah, those sound good. I think I would try those if I'm having like a party or something.
Yeah. Although, you know what happened to me? We got...
What happened to you?
You'll never guess. No. So the party that I took this to, it was a really fun party. But there was so much food there that the bars were like one of a million things. So really, only like three of them were gone. Because they had like an amazing cake and I think I saw some muffins on the dessert table. There's like a lot of, there's just a lot of food. And it was funny because I also made guacamole, but Raul set out the stuff and he forgot to take the lid off of the guacamole. So nobody knew there was
nobody
guacamole.
Opened it.
Nobody opened it and nobody ate it.
That's so weird to me at parties where there's food, like, because I've forgotten to do that before too. And come back and I'm like, why did nobody like peek at it?
I guess it's like a, what's the word? Yeah, like a sign of respect to the Tupperware. Like, I will not, unless you are opened by your owner, I will not.
Don't touch it. It's not yours.
I don't know. I'm super nosy, so I'm just opening everything. Like, what's this? What's this?
Same with me, yes.
I guess I don't know, like, correct Tupperware party etiquette. So somebody fill me in if I'm doing something wrong. But anyway, yeah, so the bars, they all came back home with me pretty much. So I'm trying to figure out what to do. I can't freeze them because they're already frosted.
They're frosted, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll figure it out. Okay,
well,
so
good luck with that.
Oh, thank you.
I made what you made, I think, last time, the go-to chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, okay. But I already know what you thought.
Yeah, I didn't hate them. I mean, they're not terrible, but they're not my go-to. So I really love the New York Times chocolate chip cookie. But it's kind of fussy. So I only make it like if I really feel like making it because it's like chopped chocolate and like that kind of stuff. Okay. But if I just want like a weeknight chocolate chip cookie, like with actual chocolate chips from the bag, I really like the one from 100 Cookies, her soft, I think she calls them her soft chocolate chip cookies. Because there's probably a dozen chocolate chip cookie recipes in there. I really like those better. And I don't know. I had a hard time putting my finger on exactly what.
It's funny because I remember when we were talking about this, because I was telling you how much I liked this one from Midwest Made. And then you asked me, like, have you made the one from 100 Cookies? And I have. And we both had, like, the same impression. I was like, I felt like something was missing from that one. And you had the same feeling about this one.
Yes, from this one. Yeah.
Which I thought was so fascinating. And I guess we'll never know what it is. Maybe we just need to one day, like, print them out. Or not print them out, but just have them side by side.
Oh, and, we should. And, like, compare them. Yeah.
Yeah, because.
Maybe we can make a hybrid.
Yeah, maybe we could combo them. And
that'll be our segment next time. We'll do your boyfriend brownies. We'll do these cookies.
There you go.
We'll do hybrid.
Do hybrids.
Recipes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is how that viral brownie recipe came to be. It looks like it's a hybrid of different things. So there's something beautiful to be expected from mixing all of these things. But yeah, so that's good to know. And it's always so funny. Like, I feel like the go-to chocolate chip that's like a complicated one, because you get so many varied responses from people about, like, some people are perfectly happy with the Nestle Toll House back of the bag
right
recipes, you know? So it's difficult to pin down one that I mean, chocolate chip cookies are always going to be a crowd pleaser, but when you ask people for their favorite ones, I feel like no one has ever told me the same.
The same. But yeah, yeah.
I find fascinating.
Well, like, and I gave you two. I was cookie.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I have two favorites. Like, my favorite is this one. But, like, if I'm in a pinch, I'm going to make these.
Your backup favorite, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry they weren't, like, as amazing as I hyped them up to be.
That's okay.
I can't explain it. I don't know. Maybe we have, like, a special gene, and it's like, this is your...
Oh, yeah, like, with the cilantro.
Yeah. It's super cool. Like, my ancestry DNA told me the other day, it predicted whether I was an introvert or an extrovert, and it said absolutely an introvert. It's like, what in my genetic code tells you this? That's so fascinating.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. They picked up on a lot of things that I thought were pretty accurate.
And you didn't do any kind of, like, personality test or anything with it. It was just your genetic results. Wow.
Yeah. Weird, right?
Yeah.
So.
Maybe that's like that doppelganger thing that we've looked at, where that article said, you know, people who looked alike also had similar lifestyles. So it was like, you know, does the gene cause a lifestyle, or does, I don't know. It was, yeah.
Are we going to be geneticists in our next
career? I mean, we're talking about making hybrid desserts, so maybe we're going to mess around with some DNA.
I don't know that we'd be very good scientists.
No. It's like how you get Frankenstein.
Pretty much. Franken cookie. I bet that exists.
Yeah, there we go. That can be the name of our segment.
There you go. Frankenbanks. Franken.
There you go. Perfect. Stay tuned next season. Frankenbanks coming soon.
Frankenbanks.
Thank you for listening to this batch of Procrastibaking. We hope we've provided some food for thought for your next Procrastibaking project. As always, the links and photos discussed in this episode can be found in our show notes. Procrastibake with us on Facebook and Instagram while you wait for our next episode to rise.
We will release new episodes first and third Fridays on your favorite platform. Tune in to the next batch of Procrastibaking for our jam-packed season finale. We will share our last cinnamon roll quest and take on the ever-popular crumble cookies. We also share our last baking aid redo and interview cookbook author Tracy Zabar. Until next time,
stay sweet.
This has been Procrastibaking. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a good review. You can also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed directly from our website at procrastibakingpodcast.com. Also, feel free to follow us and give us your feedback on social media, on Instagram at procrastibakingpodcast and Facebook at facebook.com/procrastibakingpodcast. Procrastibaking is hosted and created by Rachel Rhodes and Luisa Gonzalez, produced and edited by Raul Ceballos, theme music by Alex Walker-Smith, and show artwork by Rob Demers.